United States Steel Hour presents the Theater Guild on the Air. Helping to build a better America through better steels and products of steel is the job of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel. Look for our trademark, USS, on any steel product. It's your guide to quality steel. Our broadcast, produced by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, will be introduced by Rosalind Russell, whom you will hear tonight in the role of Rhoda Meldrum. Miss Russell.
Thank you. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. When John Van Druten and Lloyd Morris wrote The Damask Cheek, I doubt if they had the glitter and sheen of Christmas decorations in mind. Yet they might have. As its hero, a young New York socialite, a 1910 man about town, fancied that he fancied only women with a tinsel quality about them. Just what was done about his state of mind is something you can learn in the next hour. It may come as a surprise to you men in the audience, but I find out if what happened or what was done will come as a surprise to your wives. So, we raise the curtain on The Damask Cheek, adapted for Theatre Guild on the Air by Leslie Reed and directed by Homer Fickett.
The year 1910. The New York steamship piers early on a raw, blustery December morning. We're here for the docking of the liner Adriatic with a distinguished passenger list from London. Lily Langtry is aboard, King Edward's friend, you know. And Elihu Root, President Taft's close advisor who has been visiting the court of St. James. And for that matter, Miss Rhoda Meldrum, one of the Meldrums of Grosvenor Square, London, who has, of course, also been presented at court. Miss Meldrum's at the rail now, scanning the crowd on the pier below as the hawsers are tied.
Jimmy! Oh, Jimmy!
You see the folks who are meeting you, Miss Meldrum? Your American cousins?
Yes, there they are, Jimmy and Daphne, and there's someone with them. I wonder who. Oh, Jimmy!
Oh, they don't see you yet. Well, it's a great town, little old New York. Take it from me, you're going to like it.
Oh, I do think so. I've heard so much about it so often from Jimmy, and I've always rather felt that the American half of me comes out quite strongly.
In you, Miss Meldrum? Why, say, you're as British as no heat in the bathroom.
Oh, dear. That does sound conclusive.
But don't you worry, sister. Folks are going to think you're the candy kid. Well, they'll let us off in about 10 minutes. Nice to have met up with you, Miss Meldrum.
Goodbye, Mr. O'Bonham.
Goodbye.
Jimmy!
Rhoda Meldrum's cousins on the pier are Jimmy and Daphne Randall, brother and sister. And the girl with them is Calla Longstreth. Jimmy is Harvard Law School and past 30, while Calla is a rather vivid and sultry type. Bright, a young actress. Daphne is a sub-debutante, almost 17.
Rhoda! Rhoda! I don't see her, Jimmy.
Give me along, Daph. They've tied up now. Oh, Cal, I know you're going to like Rhoda. You and she'll be great friends.
Oh, how can you like anyone at 7:45 in the morning?
What'd you say, dear?
I said it's early to be up.
Oh, sure. It feels good, though, doesn't it? This wind off the river on your face. You're just not used to it, dear, with your hours in the theater. But I did want you to meet Rhoda first thing. Bless you.
Jimmy, there she is at the rail.
Rhoda!
She's waving.
Rhoda, old girl!
Wave, Jimmy, wave, Cal. Oh, look at her. Rhoda is always so poised, so regal.
At 7:45 in the morning?
Oh, I always imagine her wearing her court gown and getting married to the ambassador from St. Petersburg. I'm going to wait at the gangplank. Rhoda!
Babs always had a kid's crush on Rhoda.
How much of a relative is she, really? The way I figure it, she's hardly your cousin at all.
Oh, I suppose not. Rhoda's mother was my father's stepsister. But both families were always close.
I can't see her very well yet. Is she pretty?
Oh, gets by, I suppose. The main thing is, Rhoda's sensible, completely direct and uncomplicated. That's probably why she's never married. Oh, there's never been any nonsense about Rhoda.
And what about you? Any nonsense?
Nonsense?
Crushes on her.
Me?
Why not? You realize how much you talk about her?
Hell, I've told you, ever since we were kids, and Mother used to take me over there summers, Rhoda and I have been pals, great pals.
True blue.
Sweetheart, sweetheart, I'm fond of Rhoda, certainly, but never that way. I only fall for girls with something else. You know what it is, don't you? Sure you do. And you got it.
Please, dear, all these people around.
Here she is, Jimmy.
Rhoda. Well, 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 you haven't changed a bit.
Jimmy, how good to see you. How nice of you to meet me.
Oh, she had a wonderful crossing, and I told her about the tea Mother is giving for her and the dance next week.
Hold
and
on,
I told
Daphne. Jimmy, aren't you going to introduce me?
Oh, gosh, I forgot. I guess you haven't heard yet about me and...
How do you do, Miss Meldrum? I'm Calla Longstreth, Jimmy's fiancée.
And now Rhoda Meldrum meets New York society of 1910. With Jimmy's mother, the Dowager Mrs. Randall, she goes to musicales and cotillions, and there's just been an afternoon tea for her in the upstairs sitting room of the Randall home in the East 60s. The last guests are leaving.
I enjoyed meeting you.
Nice. So nice of you to have come. Goodbye.
Well, Mother, thank heaven that's over. Is there a drink on the premises? Ah, there.
Oh, Jimmy, I gave this tea for Rhoda, not for you. I hope you enjoyed it, Rhoda.
Oh, yes, Aunt Lucy. It was so nice.
Too bad Calla missed it.
Her sore throat, Mother.
She had a sore throat the other day for the lecture on colonial gardens. A sore throat must be very inconvenient for an actress. But at any rate, Jimmy, you should remember that everyone here was an old friend, a dear friend. When you get older, you'll value affection.
I do now, if it's mutual, Mother. But having it thrust on you can be the most awful burden. Don't you agree, Rhoda?
Well, you shouldn't ask a woman that.
Why not?
Men can choose their own friends. We have to take what we can get.
Well, Rhoda...
Well, if you meet someone you like, you can go after them. A poor female has to wait to be gone after.
Oh, Mother didn't think so. Didn't you know that Mother and Father were never properly introduced?
Oh, now, Jimmy...
The truth. Mother saw him on the beach at Newport, thought he looked very attractive, and went straight up and asked him to take her for a sail.
Oh, Rhoda, I was 7 years old. And besides, our parents knew each other. They were among the first people to go to Newport.
Yes, but you had no idea he was socially acceptable when you accosted him.
Oh, how fortunate they let you marry. Or where would poor Jimmy be now?
Right. An orphan of the storm.
Oh, now, Jimmy, stop it. And Rhoda, you're just as bad. You two are incorrigible when you get together.
I was merely telling Jimmy, it's a man-made world.
I guess that's true. I often think girls have a rotten time. Most girls, that is.
Well, you needn't look so pleased about it.
Of course, it's different if you're a girl in the theater like Calla. I think I'll go around the corner to her hotel and see her, see if she wants to come to the opera with us tonight.
Well, remind her that she has an appointment here at 5:30.
I will.
And incidentally, Jimmy, you still haven't picked anyone to make the announcement of your engagement at the dance next week.
Oh, yes, yes, I'll think about it. Bye.
Oh, Rhoda.
Yes?
Tell me, are actresses looked upon the same way in England as they are here?
How is that?
Well, when Jimmy first told me Calla was an actress, I was disturbed. Perhaps it was unfortunate that I'd been to see The Easiest Way only the week before.
What's The Easiest Way?
Well, it's a play that's been a great success. It's about an actress and her, well, her difficulties.
Oh.
She doesn't keep straight, you know. A lot of people think it never should have been put on.
Oh, then I must see it. Is it really so bad?
Well, of course, I know Calla isn't like that. She's told me all about life in the theater and, well, what a girl encounters. But still an actress and Jimmy. Oh, dear, he's so headstrong.
Excuse me, Aunt Lucy. I think I'll go up and change.
Oh, by the way, I should want to introduce you to Pendleton Fraser tonight. He was class of 84 at Yale with my brother George.
84?
Dear Pendleton is very substantial. He lost his wife 3 years ago.
Aunt Lucy.
Yes, dear?
Did Mother send me over here for you to find someone for me?
Rhoda, that's quite unfeeling. Well, she merely wrote that you were spending all your time now with married couples and suffragettes and bohemians.
You seem indifferent to the offers you've received at home, and naturally she'd like to see you married.
Suitably, of course. Substantially.
Well, really, if you're going to make fun of the whole thing, I... Oh, Calla.
Hello.
How's your sore throat? We're sorry you couldn't come to the tea.
Oh, I feel better now. I did some shopping. I brought you these violets.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Jimmy just went over to see how you were. Oh, and you've had your hair done, Calla.
Yes, I did, while I was out.
Calla, you knew I called Miss Jessie here this afternoon, especially for you. She'll be here at 5:30.
Well, I'm sorry I went to the beauty parlor at the Astor. It's where I've been going for years.
But what am I going to say to Miss Jessie? She'll be hurt. Miss Jessie's a lady, you know. She's not an ordinary hairdresser, and you can't treat
her...
Well,
I'm sorry, but I don't really like the way Miss Jessie's been doing me. I know the way I like my hair.
Well, Calla, the day of curls and clusters is definitely over. They aren't really good style anymore. Isn't that true, Rhoda?
I don't know, Aunt Lucy. It's a matter of one's preference, don't you think?
And I like it this way, in spite of Miss Jessie.
Well, then I suppose there's no more to be said. Excuse me. I must do the flowers for the dinner table.
Oh, did you ever hear such a fuss? And all over an old maid hairdresser.
I tried to pave the way for you.
Not good style. I've heard that ever since I came into this house. Have I time for a highball, do you think?
If you're quick.
Do you want one?
Whiskey? Oh, no, not me.
You don't mind all this, do you?
All what?
This house, this kind of life.
It's what I'm used to.
That's not what Jimmy says. He says your home's much sweller than this. Your family's much richer than his, aren't they?
A little, perhaps.
Oh, you don't know how this has all got me down. A year's engagement. Why? I've been on approval for 3 months.
Oh?
Well, just as soon as it's been officially announced, and that's next week, there'll be no more of that. We'll get married right away. And if it means a showdown, well, I'm ready for it.
Is that Jimmy's idea, too?
Oh, we haven't talked about it yet. But listen, if you want to get married, you want to get married.
Yes, I see that. But I try to do without the showdown, did you call it, with Aunt Lucy?
Why?
For Jimmy's sake. And your own. He's fond of his mother, and if you have a row, that'll mean a lot of unhappiness for him. You can manage it tactfully, I'm sure. Why don't you tell her you're sorry about this afternoon?
Well, why should I? I already brought her violets.
Yes, but I'm afraid she saw through that.
You know, I don't understand you.
Why not?
Well, I know you're older than me, but you're not old. You're Jimmy's age, aren't you?
I'm younger than Jimmy.
Well, all right, then. And you're a good sport, too. Jimmy told me about the time when he got into trouble with that French governess of yours.
Jimmy told you about that?
Sure. Why not? He said you took his part and were an awful good scout over the whole thing. But you're going to take his mother's side about a thing like this afternoon, just as though you were his maiden aunt.
I'm not taking anyone's side. I just said I thought it would be nice if you'd, not apologize. It isn't as important as that. But if you said you were sorry that you'd hurt her feelings. But if you don't want to, it really doesn't matter a bit.
Well, there's no need to get mad.
I'm not in the least mad.
All right, I'll say I'm sorry. I feel good this afternoon anyway. I went to a fortune teller. She told me wonderful things. Do you ever go to fortune tellers?
Yes, now and then.
Have any of them ever told you anything that came true?
No, not yet. Oh, an astrologer I went to did tell me that this was going to be my good year.
And has it been?
Not particularly, so far.
Nothing. You haven't got much of it left, have you?
In here, Rhoda. I think the real reason people go to the opera is to be seen in Sherry's bar between the acts.
Jimmy Caruso's magnificent.
Isn't he?
This is the nicest evening I've had in America.
I'm afraid you're really having a pretty dreary time over here, aren't you? I wish I could do more about it, but with Calla, you know how tied up I am.
Of course, I know.
I'm sorry Calla wouldn't come tonight. Strictly entre-nous. Her throat's all right, but all this is pretty tame for her. Shall we sit down? Claret cup for you, as always.
As always.
Waiter, a claret cup and an Armagnac, please. Rhoda, don't you ever feel the urge to break out?
Yes, I feel it quite often.
But you never do. Why not? Personally, I believe in wild oats. Moderately wild.
Yes. I know you do.
Oh, I know what you're thinking of. That mademoiselle, that governess at your place.
Therese.
Ah, yes, Therese. That was a fine to-do, all right. Your mother was all for packing me off to Scotland the next morning. How old was I? I suppose I ought to have had a swift kick.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think Therese was exactly an innocent girl.
I can tell you she wasn't.
I gather you've told Calla all about it.
Oh, did I? Oh, it must have popped out when I was speaking about you. But you know, Rhoda, I'm really not a ladies' man. Not, for instance, the way Neil is.
Neil?
Neil Harding. He's going to be my best man. Now, Neil will never change, but me, I believe in putting that sort of thing behind you. Where would be the point in getting married otherwise?
Well, Jimmy, in some marriages...
And that's funny, too. Calla, I mean.
Calla?
Well, she's the last sort of girl I'd ever have imagined myself marrying. I always thought I'd marry, a sort of a girl, you know, my own crowd. Sensible, practical. Not a bit smoldering or anything.
Poor thing.
And we'd live in the country and have slews of kids. I've always wanted kids. But when it came to falling in love, well, I guess there's some kind of a streak in me that makes me fall for girls who are a bit tarnished. Oh, no, I don't mean that. Oh, that's a fine thing to say.
I know what you mean.
Do you?
You've always been like that. You always used to like sparkly things. There was a children's fancy dress party we gave in Cumberland Terrace. And you were frightfully fascinated by a girl in a dress all made of tinsel.
Oh, good Lord, yes. I remember that party. And you were
a snowflake.
What was the tinsel girl's name?
Lily Mandeville.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you had a fight with her about something, didn't you? Blonde and very pretty, wasn't she?
No, she wasn't. It was just her dress. You like things with a showy wrapping.
Tinsel, in fact. Why do I talk to you like this?
I don't know. You always have. Why do you?
Search me. You know, I've always wanted to tell you something about you and me. You've been more than a friend. More than a friend, Rhoda.
More than a friend?
Oh, yes. A pal. A real pal. Well, there's the bell for the next act.
I've got my hair on.
Oh, you do look nice, Daphne. My compliments, Miss Jessie. It's a beautiful coiffure.
Oh, thank you. I always think it's a gala day in a young girl's life the first time she has her hair up. Oh, let me give yours another wee touch. A soupçon, Miss Meldrum. There's just a rebellious tendril.
Thank
here.
You.
You have to be a credit to me at the dance tonight, you know.
Oh, Miss Jessie.
Yes, Mrs. Rand.
Why don't you look in tomorrow? There are sure to be things left over from the supper. I'll have Nellie put up a package for you.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mrs. Randall, dear. It's always so exciting to see what's been left over from a big party. And it's such a treat for Mother.
And, Miss Jessie, mm-hmm. Would you do just the tiniest errand at the caterer for me on your way home?
Well, of course. Good night, Miss Meldrum.
Daphne, dear.
I have a little list here.
Daphne?
Yes, Rhoda?
I found something on the stairs. I think you must have dropped it. It's in your writing. Here.
Suppose he'd found it.
He? Daphne, surely this poem is something you made up. You don't really feel that way about someone.
Mm-hmm. It's Neil Harding, Jimmy's friend from Boston. Jimmy is bringing him here at 6.
He doesn't know you feel that way about him.
Oh, no, I couldn't let him. But the trouble is, he always thinks of me as a kid, the way he first knew me.
Are you really unhappy about him?
Well, I've been unhappy. Sort of happily unhappy, if you know what I mean. Did you have anything like this happen to you when you were my age?
Yes, I did.
I mean, it's all right if you know there's no chance. If I thought he was in love with someone else, for instance, I could stand that. I'd feel like Viola in Twelfth Night or something. You know, she never told her love.
But let concealment, like a worm in the bud, feed on her damask cheek.
Oh, but it seems he isn't really in love with anyone. Neil's just an awful ladies' man. He makes love to every girl he meets. Girls fall for him so violently.
And he always picks them up.
Oh, Rhoda, you're so worldly and amused at everything. Oh, I wish I were like you and couldn't be touched. Oh,
really, Daphne?
Tell me what it was like with you. Was it the same? Was he a lot older than you?
No, just a bit.
Well, why didn't you get married?
He never thought of me that way.
Well, what was he like?
Oh, he was sweet and selfish and unthinking, though he never thought he was. He was strong and good at sports and wonderful with children. He's really the sort of man who never quite grows up himself. That's always the hardest kind to get over.
But you did get over him, didn't you, Rhoda?
Daphne!
Yes, Mother?
Where did you go after lunch?
I went to the extravaganza at the Hippodrome.
Then what is the program of the easiest way doing on your bureau? I'm very angry at you. You knew I didn't want you to see that play.
Well, I heard you tell someone it was a great lesson.
We won't argue it. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Go on downstairs. Your brother's just brought Mr. Harding home.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, I am vexed. On the day of the dance, too. What is happening in this house, Rhoda? In this family? Oh, I'm so worried.
Oh, surely, Aunt Lucy...
Do you want the truth, Rhoda? I prayed that something would occur to stop this engagement tonight.
Aunt Lucy...
I'm sorry, but it's been a dreadful strain pretending I didn't mind. I pretended to everyone... Oh, Rhoda, why couldn't Jimmy have wanted to marry someone like you? Well, why do you laugh? I think you'd be an ideal daughter-in-law. For your very good style. You're sensible, practical, good-tempered.
That's where you're wrong, Auntie. I've got a filthy temper when I let go.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Don't you remember how I cut poor Lily Mandeville's head off just in a quarrel at a party?
Well, that was when you were a child. Jimmy and you were 13 then.
I was 12. Anyway, I still get impulses that way.
You? Oh, really?
Oh, Rhoda, can I bring Neil Harding upstairs?
Why,
just a moment. Come in, Jimmy. You too, Calla. Shut the door.
Yes, Mrs. Randall.
Calla, I saw you in close conversation with Daphne after lunch. Did you know she was going to see The Easiest Way?
I had an idea.
Well, then I'm very displeased with you.
Oh, Mother, what's all the fuss about? I could have told you she'd go the moment you forbade her.
Really? And what do these looks mean between you?
Well, if you must know, Mother, I got Daph the ticket.
No, he didn't. I did.
Indeed. Rhoda, did you know that?
Yes, Aunt Lucy.
Then why didn't you tell me? I didn't think you'd conspire with them. Oh, I'm extremely annoyed with you all. Excuse me.
Well, that makes a pleasant start to the evening.
Oh, it'll blow over.
Not this time.
Why not?
Because I'm involved in it.
Calla, what nonsense.
This isn't nonsense. It's true. Rhoda knows it's true, don't you, Rhoda? Go on, tell him.
Of course it isn't true. Mother's very fond of you, Calla.
Listen, Jimmy boy, with our engagement popping up tonight, you might just as well face it. Your mother doesn't like me. And Teacher's Pet over there knows it perfectly well.
Calla.
All this fuss about the easiest way is because your mother thinks it's the story of my life.
Oh, don't be silly.
Well, I'll bet she's told Rhoda that.
No, she hasn't. But if she did think it, don't you think it might be a little your fault?
What do you mean?
Well, it seems to me that I've heard an awful lot since I've been here about the temptations of the stage and what a hard time you've had resisting them.
Are you insinuating?
No, I'm not. But I just think you've talked a little too much. Both of you, if you want to know. And if Aunt Lucy has any such ideas, it's you who've put them there.
It's easy enough for you to be smug. You've never known what it is to be up against it. Not know where your next meal is coming from.
I'm not being smug, and that's no argument.
Now, girl.
Why isn't it an argument?
I might just as well say that you've never known what it is not to be up against it. And to know so well where your next meal is coming from that you could scream from the sheer boredom
of
life.
What are you two talking about?
I have no idea.
What's the matter with you both? Rhoda, this is completely unlike you.
Really? Well, perhaps it's the atmosphere, Jimmy, or the central heating. I'm not used to them.
Rhoda, wait.
Excuse me. More than a friend. Men. Imbeciles.
Hello.
Oh.
Did I startle you? I'm Neil Harding. You must be Miss Meldrum. Oh, you dropped your handkerchief.
Thank you.
Here.
How do you do?
I've just been hearing a lot about you from Daphne downstairs.
That's unfortunate for you.
Not at all. She painted a most provocative portrait. A cigarette? Daphne tells me that you smoke.
Daphne does seem to have told you a lot.
That's what I said.
You know, Mr. Harding, I've heard a lot about you, too.
Also a provocative portrait, I hope.
Oh, yes, Mr. Harding. Quite. Intensely, in fact. Shall we go downstairs, Mr. Harding?
You are listening to The Damask Cheek, produced by the Theatre Guild on the air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here speaking for United States Steel, George Hicks.
Good evening. This is the time of year when old man winter strikes suddenly and with devastating effect. He can be especially brutal in his treatment of motorists who are not prepared for bad weather driving. So with Christmas less than 3 weeks away, I'd like to suggest a very timely gift that you automobile drivers can give to your families and to yourselves. I'm talking about the gift of extra care, both in driving and in taking care of your car during the bad weather months that lie ahead, and especially through the holiday season. First of all, make sure your automobile is ready for winter drive. And thoroughly check by the garage or service station. Make sure you have an antifreeze in your cruise system. That your battery is in good condition, that your spark plug is clean and pointage adjusted for winter sleeping. Check on your window defroster and your. See to it that your tire chains, jack, are in the car and sit in good working condition. Then if you have to drive on pavements covered with slippery or ice, are the important safety suggestions. First, don't do anything suddenly. Apply your brain and accelerator a little at a time. Make turns slowly and deliberately. Second, allow time as much room between your car and the car ahead as you would on good roads. Third, when weather conditions are exceedingly bad, stay off roads entirely unless your trip is of emergency importance. Of course, the hazards of winter driving have greatly reduced modern science, not modern manufacturing. The State Steel Corporation is proud of what it's been able to play in the development of such safety factors as all steel bodies, automobiles, buses, and trains, steel tire chains, steerages and guardrails, traffic light and regular illuminating light poles, efficient equipment for snow removal and other highway maintenance, and through its important subsidiary, Universal Assembly Company, many more safety improvements for better and safer concrete highways. So wherever and however you travel this winter, chances are you will do it with greater safety because of U.S. Steel. Remember, the development and manufacture of steel and products of steel designed to make our life a safer as well as a better life is a very important function of an industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
You are listening to the Theatre Guild in the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. The curtain rises on the second act of The Damask Cheek, starring Rosalind Rota, with Kevin Hart as Jimmy, and featuring Alan Hughes as Neil, Kathleen Cordell as Carla.
And now it's 10:30 on the night of Jimmy Randall's engagement party.
Make me cry. Oh, Miss Jessie, you're still here.
Yes, I waited in the hall to... I had nearly a whole glass of champagne, Mrs. Randall, dear.
But there's no turning back now.
You mustn't be unhappy, Mrs. Randall.
Well, there's no good talking about it. That's what Jimmy wanted.
The dance is going beautifully, isn't it? I saw Mrs. Meldrum walking again with Mr. Harding.
He's being terribly attentive, isn't he?
Yes, almost too attentive. I thought they were a little conspicuous.
You don't think that could be anything, do you?
He and Rhoda? Why, she's the last kind he'd be interested in.
Oh, if these great Lotharios knew what they were missing half the time, they... Oh, what am I saying? Excuse me, Mrs. Randall, dear, I must be getting home to Mother.
This party is my idea of simple torture, Jimmy. Do we have to know people like this?
Well, we can't just drop them, Calla.
Who's the gink with the face like a kneecap? Over there.
Oh, that one. Chuck Stebbings. He married Vivian Henderby.
And who's Vivian Henderby?
The girl with a feather brush thing in her hair. A vinaigrette or whatever you call it. Vivian got herself into quite a scandal a few years ago.
Oh? How?
She met a man at a dance. A married man. And the next 3 days was seen lunching with him at Rector's.
Oh, good grief.
Don't laugh. Oh, no. It was considered pretty brave of Chuck to marry her.
Oh, look, Jimmy, why don't we make a bargain? One night a week, your friends and family, one night.
And the rest of the week?
We have fun.
Well, we'll see.
Yes, I promise we will.
That sounds like a threat.
No more than your we'll see.
Oh, Calla, don't let's quarrel.
But I'm not quarreling. Oh, shoot, my hair's mussed. I must go up and fix it.
Jimmy, you in here? Where's Calla?
Gone upstairs to your room. Are you having a good time?
Yes, thanks. Jimmy, I hope you'll be very happy.
Thanks. The champagne's flat. Listen, Rhoda, is it true that Mother doesn't like Calla?
Why,
Come on, tell me.
I don't think she understands her. That doesn't matter, does it? You like her, you want to marry her. That's all that matters, surely.
Yes, but what you said about Calla's kind of life, what was that all about?
Well, I shouldn't have said it. I'm very sorry, Jimmy.
You know, after all, there's a good deal in what Calla said to you. You've been brought up so differently, you've never known that world.
No, I know.
Besides, Calla's very attractive to men. Even before she went on the stage when she was quite a kid, she's always had men after her.
Yes, of course she did.
Women like Mother don't understand that. I don't think you do either. It's not a girl's fault if she's attractive.
Fault?
That's what I said, fault. It's very easy to condemn if you've never had any temptation.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy, you must go in to your guests.
All right. Coming, Rhoda?
I want to speak to Rhoda for a moment.
All right.
Rhoda, don't you think you're dancing with Mr. Harding too often?
I hope not.
Well, not that I don't want to see you have a good time, but you have to remember that you're a stranger here, and people are apt to notice everything you do.
Of course, Aunt Lucy, of course.
It's one thing for Mr. Harding to be attentive. I expect Jimmy told him to be. But men don't always realize...
Of course, Aunt Lucy, will you excuse me? It's a little oppressive here. I'm going up to the sitting room.
Miss Meldrum, I believe.
Oh, Mr. Harding.
All alone? What were you gazing at so earnestly through the window? Has there been an accident?
No. I was looking at the snow.
Have you never seen New York under snow?
Only pictures of it.
It really is quite beautiful. Especially in Central Park. You should drive round it. At night. Central Park, under snow, in a hansom. It's one of my hobbies.
It sounds lovely.
It is. Well, would you rather sit this dance out up here?
Well, I do have a bit of a headache.
Frankly, I don't believe it. I wish I knew what you were thinking.
About what, Mr. Harding?
Anything. The dance, America, me.
I'm enjoying them all a great deal.
I wonder if you mean it. I've danced with you. I've talked with you. But I don't know what is really you. I think somewhere deep down you're quite different.
What do you think I am, deep down?
An enigma. And that's what fascinates me. Everybody seems to see you quite differently. Jimmy, Daphne, Calla. Calla has an idea you're a prude. Are you?
What is your idea, Mr. Harding?
Why did you tell Daphne you weren't attractive to me?
Did she repeat?
You know it isn't true.
Do I?
You've got a kind of light inside you. I've known all evening it was there. If only one could find the switch. Aha. You're quite different. Now it's on. I think you could be dangerous as well. If you weren't being English and would let yourself. You know we're in America.
What did Jimmy say about me?
Jimmy's a fool. He doesn't know anything about women.
It's still snowing.
It's still beautiful. It's inscrutable and inviting. Like you.
No. No, like no, please.
You, Rhoda. Listen. Out there is New York at night in the snow. Something you may never see again. Will you let me show it to you? Just for half an hour. A drive through the park.
Jimmy, have you seen Rhoda?
Rhoda? No, Mother.
Have you, Callum?
Not in the last 2 hours. Or Mr. Harding, either.
Oh, well, what's the matter, Daphne?
Oh!
Come in, Miss Jessie.
Oh, I thought you'd all sleep late, Mrs. Randall, but I have appointments all afternoon, and you did tell me to stop in today.
Yes, of course. I told Nellie to put the things up for you. There was quite a lot of the moose of ham left.
Oh, Mother's very excited. Did you get a good night's rest?
I didn't close an eye.
Oh, dear. There wasn't anything the matter, was there?
Yes, yes, I was terribly upset.
Oh, Mrs. Randall, dear. What has Miss Longstreth done now?
Well, it wasn't Calla this time, for a wonder. It was Rhoda.
Rhoda?
I don't understand it, Miss Jessie. I just don't understand it.
But Mrs. Randall, dear, what?
Miss Jessie, you just won't believe it. You won't believe it, but last night at the dance, what should she do but disappear for nearly 2 hours with Neil Harding?
Disappear?
Completely. They went for a drive in the park, if you please. Alone. Quite alone.
Was their absence remarked?
Well, naturally. It must be all over town by now. All New York will be talking about it by lunchtime.
Oh, but that's dreadful. Oh, I'm so sorry, Mrs. Randall, dear. Oh.
All New York will be talking about it by lunchtime, Rhoda. Rhoda, whatever possessed you?
I don't know, Aunt Lucy.
Did he make love to you?
Aunt Lucy, that is a question I have no intention of answering.
That means he did. Well, you'll be thoroughly compromised. Any chances you may have had are completely ruined.
It never occurred to me I had any chances to ruin.
Well, I don't know what you're going to do. You'd better go and stay with your Aunt Bessie in Indianapolis till it's blown over.
Do you think I'd have any chances in Indianapolis?
Rhoda, what's come over you? Why, you never used to be flippant and defiant like this. I always thought you were such a nice girl.
So did I, Aunt Lucy. It seems we were both wrong.
What's this I hear? You're being sent to Indianapolis? Is there a federal penitentiary out there or something?
No, there's Aunt Bessie. What's she like, by the way?
You won't have a very good time. Mother's a lunatic.
Oh, she's right in a way, Jimmy. There are these conventions. I've been a fool.
Not you, Rhoda. Not you. I'm the one who's been a fool.
How?
Calla.
I don't understand.
I don't want to marry her. Well, there now, I've said it.
Jimmy.
At last, I've said it right out loud. I've been spending the last 3 months trying not to say it.
Jimmy, you can't mean that from the beginning you...
Almost, almost. Only I wouldn't face it. And last night, her scene with Mother and her row with you, well, I did face it. Right at my own engagement party. You know why I was sore at you in the conservatory, don't you? I was taking it out on you.
Never mind that. Now, what in the world are you going to do?
Well, nothing. What can I do?
But an engagement isn't a marriage.
Oh, I can't let her down. I barged into her life, didn't I? And, well, I owe her something. Security, permanence. She's been up against it all her life.
Jimmy, this is a marriage you're talking about. Do you really mean you're going to marry her feeling like that?
I can't do anything else. Oh, I just wanted to say it once. And I always have confided in you. I guess I've just never grown up or I'd have learned about tinsel before now.
Wish I could do something for you.
Jimmy, I'm out of cigarettes. Give me one quick before your mother comes.
Oh, here you are. Well, I must go up and shave. Excuse me, ladies.
She won't even have an ashtray in this room.
Calla. Why did you tell Jimmy last night that his mother didn't like you?
Because I mean to break that up.
That's going to hurt both of them if you do.
Oh, they'll get over it.
Are you in love with Jimmy?
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Everything, I should think. You're not, are you? What are you marrying him for?
If you want to know, that's what I've been asking myself these last weeks. Do you think I'm a fool to go through with it?
I don't know what you expect from it.
I expect exactly what I'll get. Security. Not having to worry about the rent. Not having handkerchiefs drying all over the mirrors. Not going without my lunch to get my gloves cleaned.
Yes, you'll get that.
The trouble is that for the last 3 months I've had it and it bores me to death. You see, he isn't really rich. Not really. Just comfortable. That's the snag.
Calla, do you mean you want to get out of it?
What are all these questions?
I want you to answer me.
Well, I'd like to get out of it, but I think I'd be a fool. I thought of driving him to breaking it off for a settlement. But I wouldn't settle for less than $25,000. But he couldn't pay it, nor could his mother.
I could.
What do you mean?
I mean that if you'll take $25,000 to break off your engagement, I'll give it to you.
Well, why should you fork over?
Because it's all a mistake. I'm fond of Jimmy, and I don't want to see him unhappy.
Are you in love with him?
Don't be silly. Look, if you like, I'll give you my check on my bank in London now.
Wait a minute. I've got to think it over.
All right. But in that case, I can think it over, too.
Make it 30.
30? That's 6,000 pounds. All right. I'll write the check now. What's the date?
The 15th. What do I do now?
Tell Jimmy that you changed your mind. And don't tell him about this. Naturally.
Naturally.
Here it is.
Well, thanks.
Don't mention it. I'll have to send a cable to my bank, but it'll be all right.
Listen, there's something back of all this, isn't there?
What do you mean?
You are in love with him, aren't you? Oh, yes, you must be. Why didn't I ever think of that before?
Don't be absurd.
That's why you've nursed him through all his affairs. It's true, isn't it?
Oh, all right, then. It's true. I've always been in love with him. I've known it never could come to anything, but if he's unhappy with you, at least I can get him out of it. That's all.
Well, I've heard of American girls going to England and buying husbands for themselves.
What? But... is that what you think? Give me back that check.
You're just paying me off to leave the coast clear for yourself.
What?
And what a hope you've got. What a hope. Why, he'd never want you after me. I can tell you that, sister.
Why, you nasty little...
And what do you think you are, spooning in hansom cabs with men?
If I get my hands on you, I'll pull your hair off.
Oh, so this is a famous temper I've heard about.
You'll do more than hear about it in a minute.
Hey, hold it, let go.
You don't take back what you said.
Rosa!
You take it back.
Hold my hair.
I'll never be the
Rosa!
Rosa!
Hey, what's going on? Rosa,
go to blazes!
You are listening to The Damask Cheek, produced by the Theatre Guild On the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here again, speaking for United States Steel, George Hicks.
Earlier on tonight's program, I talked about the need for extra care with automobiles and driving when Old Man Winter may strike hard at any moment. Right now, I'd like to tell you about three very important highway safety developments pioneered by Universal Atlas Cement Company, an important member of the United States Steel family. The first is the famous light-reflecting corrugated concrete curb made with Atlas White cement, which clearly outlines road edges by day and by night, in good weather and, more importantly, in bad. Second is the Universal Atlas White traffic lane marker, which is essentially the same in principle as the corrugated concrete curb, except that it's built flush with the surface of the highway and provides a double-duty safety measure. Not only can it be seen more clearly, but it also causes a singing noise, which is clearly heard when car tires stray out of their lanes and run over the corrugated surface. Third is the extraordinary material called Atlas Duraplastic, or if you want to be more exact, Atlas Duraplastic Air and Training Cement. Intensive tests over a 12-year period prove that Duraplastic cement, when used in concrete mixes for highway surfacing, greatly reduces the problems of pavement scaling caused by severe freezing and thawing, and the action of de-icing salts used so freely nowadays by many highway departments to clear roads of ice. In other words, the use of duroplastic cement gives to concrete highways an added surface durability. That's a major contribution to better and safer concrete highways. And of course, from the standpoint of you taxpayers, duroplastic should be mighty desirable because it costs no more than regular cement. At Universal Atlas Cement Company, such highway safety developments are products of a constant program of research, development, and field testing. But it's mighty worthwhile. For helping to make your America a safer as well as a better America is a vitally important objective of Universal Atlas Cement Company and of every other member of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. We pause now for station identification.
KFI Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony Incorporated.
And now the curtain rises on the third act of The Damask Cheek, starring Rosalind Russell with Kevin McCarthy and featuring Alan Hewitt and Kathleen Cordell.
Rhoda, may I come in?
Oh, good afternoon. Come in, certainly.
What's the matter with Daphne?
Daphne?
I met her downstairs, asked if you were in, and all she could do was stare at me, as though I'd appeared in a cloud of smoke with horns and a cloven hoof.
I think she's upset about something. Did she say anything?
What about?
About us and our escapade.
She mentioned it.
I should have thought of that.
Well, let's not talk about her. How are you today?
I'm all right. Thank you for your flowers. They were charming. Rosemary for remembrance.
You're welcome. Did you have any trouble this morning?
A little.
But you managed. What are you looking so worried about? Rhoda, Rhoda.
What on earth are you doing?
I'm trying to kiss you.
Well, please don't.
Why not?
Because I don't like it.
You let me last night. We're standing on the very spot.
Last night was last night. This is this afternoon.
Do I have to wait till 6 o'clock? Like the first drink?
Mr. Harding.
Oh, not Mr. Harding.
Mr. Harding, I've got to be very frank with you.
Shoot.
I don't know what you're thinking or expecting, but this can't go any further.
Why not?
Because I don't want it to.
Are you regretting last night?
No, not at all. But it's over.
You mean you don't want to see me again?
I think it would be better. In any case, I'm going back to England next week.
This hasn't anything to do with last night, has it?
Not in the sense you mean. Not at all, really.
I wish you'd tell me what's the matter.
Nothing. At least, not to do with you. I'm very grateful to you.
Grateful? Oh, for heaven's sake, why?
For last night. You said the most charming things, and I wanted to hear them. You gave me an adventure that I shall always remember. Driving round Central Park in the snow with you, and being made love to very charmingly. You do make love charmingly.
Are you kidding me?
Indeed, no. I'm saying thank you and adieu. Does that hurt your feelings?
Not my feelings.
Your vanity?
You are making fun of me.
Well, perhaps just a little. Do you mind?
I'm not used to it.
From girls? I'm sorry, but don't grudge me that little triumph over the others.
Hello. O'Neill. Daph just told me you were here.
And I must go to my room. I'll say goodbye, Mr. Harding.
Goodbye.
And thank you again so much for the flowers.
Well, old man, what are you gaping at?
I shall never understand English women.
Oh? What's the trouble?
Your cousin. What is she?
Well, in Mother's phrase, a very nice girl. Although I think Mother's revised that opinion since last night. And what, by the way, was the idea of you and Rhoda leaving the dance that way?
An impulse, Jimmy. Have you never had an impulse to whirl a girl away from a ballroom?
Sure, sure. Not Rhoda, though.
Wait a minute. You think of her the way I do about my sister, don't you?
Well, yes, I think I do. From that point of view.
Well, that's where you're wrong.
You mean?
I mean. Rhoda? Rhoda.
You mean you made love to her?
Romantic love. Love in a hansom cab. Love in the silence of the snow. You know. And then this afternoon, when I expect some subsequent developments, she quietly tells me,
that's all there is. There isn't any more.
Yes. Not that it was all a mistake and should never have happened. And she can't think what she was doing.
Well, I can't think what she was doing. Or you either.
Hey.
No, I mean that, see?
Jimmy, she's not a kid of 18. She knows how many beans make 5.
And that's no way to talk about her either. Can't you see the difference between a girl like Rhoda and the kind of a girl you can do that sort of thing with?
Jimmy, you won't hit me if I repeat that the whole point is that she turns out to be the kind of girl you can do that sort of thing with.
Well, I'm certainly seeing a lot of new sides to her all of a sudden.
Feel like making love to her yourself now?
Oh, don't be such a fool.
Well, you know, there are guys who don't find a woman desirable till she's got a bad reputation.
Rhoda.
Jimmy. I want to apologize for that scene with Calla this morning.
Oh, that's all right. Say, what was that all about?
Didn't Calla tell you?
Well, she said you'd had a row. Said you'd made it up afterwards upstairs. She wouldn't tell me what it was about.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd rather not either. But I'm sorry.
Rhoda, I've got something to tell you. You know what we were talking about this morning about Calla?
Yes.
Well, apparently she's realized it, too. That it wouldn't work, I mean. Said a lot of things to me today at lunch, and she's broken it off.
I see.
You don't sound surprised.
I don't think I am, really. Huh? It was quite obvious, Jimmy, that it wasn't any use. And Calla's a sensible girl. What'd she say?
Well, just she knew that it wasn't any good, that we'd never get along together, and that she'd wanted to call it off. And I asked her what she was going to do, how she was going to live.
And she said?
Well, she'll go back to the stage.
Oh.
I wanted to make some sort of settlement or something, but she wouldn't take it.
I like her for that.
Oh, Calla's all right in lots of ways. It's just that as a wife she wouldn't do. For me, anyway. It was just the rapping I liked. It's the most extraordinary thing to be free again, you know. I can't believe it. It's such luck.
I'm glad you're glad.
Free to go back and start again. Rhoda, what's this about your going to England?
Oh, did Mr. Harding tell you?
You mean it's true? But you've only just come.
I know, but...
What?
Well, after the way I've behaved...
You mean last night?
And this morning.
I wish you'd tell me what this morning was about.
Oh, that's not important. But I lost my temper very badly. I feel horrible about it. Quite ashamed.
Well, that can't be why you want to go home.
That on top of everything else. It's all turned out all wrong. My whole visit here...
Has this anything to do with Neil?
It hasn't anything to do with anyone, except myself. I'm nothing like the kind of person that I thought I was, and I don't like what I've turned out to be at all. I'm not even a lady.
Nonsense, Rhoda.
It's true. I can't stay here. I booked passage this afternoon, sailing next week on the Baltic. I'll get around to all the necessary lies and arrangement with Aunt Lucy later. She'll probably have a bad cold between now and leaving.
Mother's not sending you home. What about Indianapolis?
I decided myself, Jimmy.
But it's ridiculous. I don't want you to go. Heaven knows when we'll meet again. And just now, when I'm suddenly seeing you quite differently for the first time. Look, Rhoda, it's crazy the way we were always brought up as brother and sister almost. It stopped our ever seeing each other as anything else. At least it stopped me. Until now.
Why now?
Well, I don't know. I guess because the wrapping's changed.
What?
Well, I've always taken you so completely for granted. But now, if you wouldn't go, I'd like to start off on a different foot. If that wouldn't seem too silly to you.
Silly?
Well, I know you've never thought of me that way. I wouldn't know how to make myself romantic to you, but that's what you've become to me. I've always known you had all the other things, but I never realized before that you're really very attractive, too. You're the sort of girl I want to marry.
Jimmy, who put you up to this?
No one. No, I just think I've been completely blind, that's all.
No one said anything?
No, of course not. I'm simply telling
you. Now I see. You were talking to Neil. Admitted, Jimmy. It was Neil.
Well.
Oh, Jimmy.
What's the matter?
You've such a passion for tarnished women.
Well, that's a fine thing to say. I love you.
It's all right, Jimmy. It's rather nice to be tinsel for once.
Oh, Rhoda. Dearest.
Jimmy.
I do wish I knew what your row with Calla was about.
That, Jimmy, is something that I'll never tell you.
Never? Not even when we're married?
No. Not even when we're married.
The curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild on the Air production of The Damask Cheek, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. We express our thanks to Rosalind Russell, who starred as Rhoda, and to Kevin McCarthy as Jimmy. Our thanks also to Alan Hewitt, who was featured as Neil, and to Kathleen Cordell, who was featured as Calla, and to the other members of our cast as Daphne Randall, Joyce Van Patten. As Mrs. Randall, Kathleen Commages, as Miss Jessie, Barbara Weeks, and as the American tourist, Donald MacDonald. And now let's hear from Joan Fontaine with a word about next week's play.
Good evening. One of America's most popular writers, whose novels have become equally successful when adapted for the stage and screen, is the author of next Sunday's Theatre Guild on the Air presentation. She is Mrs. Edith Wharton. Her story, The House of Mirth, the saga of a New York society girl, and the man who molded her life. Franchot Tone will play opposite me, and we both hope you will be able to listen. Thank you.
And now a special message from George Hicks.
There is no substitute for whole blood plasma in treating the ill and injured. Americans have been rolling up their sleeves and giving blood for the armed forces. They found that giving their blood was painless and easy, and it left them with a warm sense of pride. Today, the armed forces still have needs to fill. Local communities are stockpiling reserves of plasma to meet every kind of emergency, both civilian and military. Join the National Blood Program by phoning your local Red Cross tomorrow and make an appointment to give your blood.
Remember, next week on the United States Steel Hour, The House of Mirth, starring Joan Fontaine and Franchot Tone. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product, is your guide to quality steel. The Theatre Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Lawrence Langner and Teresa Halpern, with our Ina Marshall executive producer. S. Mark Smith is editor. Music was composed and conducted by Hera Levy. Your announcer has been Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at the same time.
tonight, hear Dragnet over NBC. KFI, Los Angeles.